Welcome to another episode of Yarn Talk. This is Makuta. So R. Kelly has always been mixed up with controversy about sexual misconduct, and somehow him seem to dodge the legal ramifications. So I'm going to talk about a documentary series that everyone seems to be talking about right now.
There's a difference between R. Kelly and Robert. R. Kelly is this fun, laughing, loving guy. But Robert is the devil.
R. Kelly is at the top of the charts, but he may be in for a fall. He was arrested today on 21 counts of child pornography.
Kelly is accused of videotaping himself having sex with an underage girl.
Taking advantage of minors will not be tolerated.
Jurors found him not guilty on all charges.
Robert has said all along he would be cleared of these terrible charges.
Shame on you!
Shame on you!
Shame on you!
Shame on you!
Mute R. Kelly!
Mute R. Kelly!
Mute R. Kelly!
Mute R. Kelly!
We got a tip that she's here.
She's not
here. R. Kelly has denied accusations that he's holding women against their will in a sex cult.
Dave said he loved you so much.
I should have never introduced her to him. I should have never introduced my family to him.
He's the puppet master.
It was very scary because I knew at that moment I had a secret.
Sparkle is alleged to have received significant payment.
I didn't take the money because I can't be bought. He ain't a monster by himself. It took some help.
I was just ready to get the hell out of there.
Black women don't get the same recognition as our white counterparts. And I wish that would change.
A grown man, 50-something years old. That's not acceptable, nowhere. Nowhere.
So, before we start, what I want to do is I want to make a correction from last week's show. There was an Android app that I was recommending that everyone use for streaming TV shows and movies. Throughout the program, I call it Terrarium. Unfortunately, that's not the name. The name is actually Terranium. So that's the correction that I want to make. So again, it's not Terrarium, it's Terranium. All right, so now let's get into the episode. Like I said, my name is Makuta. Joining the conversation is our resident social analyst, Fox. Good morning, Fox.
Good morning.
And how are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you.
And I know you can't wait to jump right in. And alongside Fox, we have our frequent contributor from Dope AF Movement, Kenny. Wagwan, Kenny.
Hey, what's up, pal?
All right. So, I don't know if I should just jump right in. Oh, might as well just jump right in. Let me tell you how I got involved in this story. So last week I was at my friend's house and she was telling me about this documentary series that broadcasts on Lifetime. So she wanted to watch it. So I asked her, what was the series about? She said, R. Kelly. And it prompted my memory, because sometime last year there was some stories going around about R. Kelly keep having like this sex cult. But just like everybody else, it just sounded kind of outrageous, and the story never really stuck with us. So what we did is we basically discredited by not paying attention to it. Unfortunately, I had the opportunity to actually watch this documentary series now, and that outlined some of the things that were happening last year and years before that. So, I would tell you this. I was completely appalled because these accusations, it sounds crazy, but somehow, just like everybody else, my reaction was complete disgust. And Unfortunately, I was not surprised, because within our society and modern day, in our modern day society, men have been behaving like this for a long damn time. And somehow this behavior appeared to be normal. And a lot of people, including us men, we allow ourselves to watch other men do the same thing. And just like in Jamaica, you know, you have men that would look at a girl, 16-year-old girls who are come out of school, like the bus driver them. Them are look upon 16-year-old girls who are drive on them bus. And them are justify the reason they want to hook up with these girls. Because them are talk about from grass I grew a ball for all. And them kind of mentality there is not necessarily good, because them basically are prey on these young girls. So my question is, what am to the big man them? Why them are prey upon like a girl? It just don't make no sense. And the fact is, all of these things are happening, and a lot of people are to be blamed for it, including myself, for allowing friends of mine in the past to perpetrate these type of behavior. In the case of R. Kelly, all of the people them were involved with R. Kelly. They are to be blamed for allowing him to do this. And somehow them are sacrifice the girls just because R. Kelly are make them money. So then the other part is, we are trying to say that men should have done something about it. But some, like I said earlier, the men who are supposed to do something about it, they too are perpetrating that bad behavior. So now we are expecting that the Fox is supposed to police the N-House, which don't make no damn sense. What do you think, Fox?
I agree. I think at this point in time, where it's been over 20 years that these allegations have happened, we can no longer keep looking at R. Kelly, but everybody in his camp, and also the parents who allow their daughters to just be alone with a grown man halfway across the country sometimes.
You know, when I would say that point about the parents allowing their kids to be with this grown man, I don't think that they consciously allow their kids to go off with him just like that. I think what they did was they thought that their kids were going to be in the care of adults, including R. Kelly, and women who were adults in R. Kelly's camp that would look after these girls. But it turns out the women who were supposed to be looking out for these girls, they were also involved in this whole R. Kelly, I don't know what the hell, is it a sex cult, whatever the hell.
Well, I think at this point in time, you can look at it not like a sex cult, but more pimp culture. I think he's been allowed to get away with it for so long that he's now glorifying himself as like the Pied Piper and having all these girls. So he's like the big pimp. You know, you see all the imagery of him, women putting crowns on his head, and they can't eat unless he says so. They can't do whatever unless he says so. That's pimp culture.
There's another part that is similar to what you're saying, where all the girls said the same thing, that he want them to call them daddy. And every time they would ask permission for something, they wouldn't say R. Rob or Kelly. They would go, daddy, can I do this? And daddy, do you like this? So you're right. He's basically... Well, am I one pimp and one customer? Because him had the John and the customer at the same damn time. Him had the John and the pimp at the same time. I really don't know, man. The fact is, R. Kelly is a friggin' predator. And everyone knew that R. Kelly preyed on young girls. This documentary series kind of give us a better overview of how sick this person is by going from the very beginning and show us where the behavior actually came from and what he was doing early on in his career. When he first started out, this brother was hanging out at high school, picking up high school girls when I'm at 21 years old. So people thought that he was just showing up to watch, like, say, the basketball games and things like that. But no, the man show up in MK, hang out and talk to young girls and picking up high school girls.
Well, as I said, I'm familiar with this because I have someone close to me who actually is from Chicago and who went to one of these schools where they knew that R. Kelly was coming and picking up little girls. There were several schools that he did it. And like I said, this is nothing new. People knew about this from the time that he married Aaliyah when she was 15 years old. So I don't know why people are now, you know, saying, oh, R. Kelly is this big predator and you're letting your 17-year-old daughter go hang out with him or work with him in the studio and you're not there.
So there's a girl that was on the documentary where the parents were explaining, actually not the parents, the aunt was explaining why her niece was in the studio with R. Kelly by himself. So you guys remember Sparkle, right? Mm. So have you ever wondered why Sparkle's career completely disseminated?
I mean, I know she introduced her 12-year-old niece to R. Kelly, and then R. Kelly just started hanging out with her, and Sparkle wasn't around.
This is how Sparkle explained it. She said when she first introduced Rob to the family, the 12-year-old, she could sing. So what she wanted to do was give her an opportunity, like most young kids who has that aspiration of becoming a singer, she wanted to give them that opportunity, give her that opportunity to sing. However, she did not want her niece to be alone with him. But somehow, her niece trade numbers with R. Kelly, with Rob, and then she started sneaking off, going into the studios without her parents and without her aunt. And so she didn't have a clue that her niece was doing all these things. But then she found out when she watched that pee tape.
Wow. What a way to find out.
Say again?
What a way to find out.
Yeah, tell me about it. And it was the police who brought the pee tape for her to see. It's not like
the pee tape.
Okay. I know what's also crazy is even after all of this, I've yet to watch that pee tape. What about you?
I've not watched the sex tape, no.
What about you?
Hey, look. At the time it was on VHS. It was on sale like $5. Yeah, I did cop that.
So
and I did look at it.
So you watch child pornography?
No.
Yep, pretty much.
That's child pornography.
Because that's what it is.
I didn't watch it.
But you bought it.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Kenny, you're kind of like saying that you took a sniff of marijuana, but you never inhaled.
It was literally during a time when bootlegs was not legal, but it was being watched.
Arch, the thing is, I can't knock you for watching it because there's a ton of people that purchased it back then. Because they were all curious when they heard R. Kelly had this P tape. And again, you call it sex tape. But to be honest, the real reason that anyone call it a P tape is because of what he did. And not only that, who he did it with. But then the other part of this that is really crazy is during the documentary, we get to see that what the family did. Somehow the family discredit who was on that tip, because the girl went on the stand and said it wasn't her, when clearly it was her. And that corroborated Rob's statement that it wasn't him. And his lawyers were trying to say that it was his brother. And Rob did nothing and said nothing. As long as the E come off of him, him don't care who get hit. So he allowed his lawyers to make the assumption and put that assumption out there that maybe it was his brother, his own friggin' brother.
Massive outrage.
Tell me if this friggin' person not damn crazy. Your own family member.
You really. I mean, everybody was watching it, was paying attention to it, and in your mind, you knew. Everybody knew that was him. Everybody knew the truth, but no one said anything. There was nothing you could do. There wasn't a letter you can write or a petition to sign. I mean,
but that goes back to my point where it's everybody is enabling R. Kelly. From the parents to the victims to the people in his camp, everybody is enabling him to do these things.
Okay, let's first start with what you just said. Let's hit the first person. You said the victims. How did the victims enable him?
Because when you have young girls whose minds are able to be manipulated, it's like Stockholm Syndrome or like this pimp mentality. How do pimps keep their prostitutes? By keeping them in mental change. So of course the girl is not going to come forth against the person who she holds in such high regard. And this is not victim blaming, but again goes into the mentality of what R. Kelly did to manipulate these little girls.
Okay. Now, think of the girls that are not teenagers and underage, and the girls who got trapped in his effery when they're about 18, 19, 33 years old. They knew that R. Kelly had this reputation, but because he was never convicted, somehow that was justification to believe him. But again, I am not blaming them for getting involved in that situation. But being a yard man, if me here say another brother out there I do something jacked up, me not hang out with him backside. Me not even get involved. Me not even make my pitney go close to him. Because me not want my pitney get involved in anything what this brother perpetrate.
While this was happening, Kelly was still dropping hits and everybody still listened to the music.
I get it.
It's like,
I get it.
We knew what was happening, but you still listened to
it. Wait. It's not like we knew. There were reports, but it was kind of like the music outshattered the reports.
That is very true.
It's not reports. He married Aaliyah when she was 15 years old. There's court records.
I know.
But from then on, nobody should have been worked. There should have been no sex tape because we knew he was a predator right then and there.
That's kind of where I agree with her, because this was known for a long time.
1994.
Like why is everybody going on Facebook? Oh, man. Blah, blah.
You knew this. I'm going to tell you the reason.
New news.
I'll tell you the reason. You guys are right. It's old news. This happened. It's been happening since the 90s.
You know what I think, though? I think the person that did that documentary, the people, the artistry behind it, they did a great job. Excellent job. Like, getting the feeling out and all of that. All
right. And then, not only that, why did they go to Lifetime? Any thoughts?
Because it's a channel geared to women. That's why. I don't know the statistics, but I would say 99% of people who watch Lifetime are women.
Exactly.
That's true.
So, Master P came out and said, why didn't women go on CNN and all these news network to talk about their stories? But then I'm sitting there going, wait, they already did that. The families went on Megyn Kelly on NBC Today Show, where millions of viewers watch that every morning. They were on Ellen. They were on local news morning shows, evening shows. They were talking about this for years, but nobody paid attention.
Because like you said, the music kind of...
When was his last major hit?
Good question.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Chocolate Factory.
Oh, was it?
Chocolate, the Ignition and Remix to Ignition. Those were his last hits.
Nah.
Yes.
He has something current. Like, no. Listen. 5 years? Past 5 years, he had no hits.
None.
The past 5 years. Prior None. To Obama.
Listen, we're not here to talk about the music hits. This damn predator.
But here's my point with that, right? From 1994, when he married Aaliyah, from 2002, when he had the whole sex tape scandal, we have so many artists who we look up to and who we praise who work with him. Jay-Z, Swiss Beatz, yes. Snoop Dogg.
Continue. Lady Gaga, Chance the Rapper.
Wow. B2K.
Omarion.
I think that documentary, so all of these interviews that the families were in and the interviews even R. Kelly was in were all single cases or episodes by themselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at the time, boom, 1 week an interview comes out, surviving R. Kelly, I guess, first girl or the first family, and then another 2-3 months another interview comes out. These are all single cases, like by themselves, and in the middle of the cases R. Kelly comes out with a banger, even without the him having going on a drought, I guess, or not having a hit in the past 8 years. It sounds like what the documentary did was collect all of that data and put it on 6 episodes and focused on a channel that has a large, well, when I say large audience, like women are on that channel, and Lifetime has a history now of putting out black or ethnic, I would say ethnic movies, like Aaliyah.
Yep.
They put out,
But even in that Aaliyah documentary, they didn't even focus on Aaliyah. They focused on R. Kelly.
True. But that's what I'm saying. Lifetime has a history in your mind. If you think of a movie that you want to see about, Lifetime's going to be on. It's going to be on Lifetime. That's why they put it there. And the documentary focused all those cases in 6 episodes, and it pushed it out. So it's powerful because it's a collection of data altogether, instead of just being a singular, like one or two cases popping up here and there, and this music is hot and you can't focus on it too much because his stuff is being pushed through. But the documentary was so big and it was made good. Like I saw the beginning and the artistry behind it, the whole format, the way it was edited and the way it was documented was really good, because you really were captured into it. It but made you focus in on it.
Here's my issue with the Lifetime documentary is why now? Because the sex cult thing happened last year.
Yep. Okay.
The sex tape thing happened in 2002. So why now?
That's okay. A good question. Here's the reason.
That's a great question.
Because people knew what R. Kelly was doing, and all these other men were getting caught, and they were all being held accountable for their actions.
Were they?
They are being held accountable. Got them. I got you court now.
Who?
Bill Cosby.
Black.
Harvey Weinstein.
Acquitted.
No. One case. And still I got you it. There's other people who are going through it too.
Brock Turner, Kevin Spacey. We don't hear about them. They're not having Lifetime documentaries about them. Mm-hmm. They're not being put on blast.
I know. But we're not talking about them. We're talking about friggin' R. Kelly.
But good question.
And man, I am not... Listen, I will not justify or claim that he's being targeted just because he's black. Bad behavior is friggin' bad behavior, regardless of who the hell it is.
But he's being pushed out there, I think, because he's black. Because we've known about this for 20 plus years.
And the reason I think it's happening is because the black community has been protecting him.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I don't believe in that friggin' protection. So, before we move on, I'm going to let you guys listen to some of the... an interview that was done by two of R. Kelly's alleged victims.
Kitty Jones and Asante McGee both say they had relationships with R. Kelly. Asante says she dated him from 2014 to 2016 and lived in his home for a month. Kitty says she started dating the singer back in June 2011. She thought they were in love and in a monogamous relationship. She gave up her job as a DJ, says she moved into his Atlanta home in November 2011 and spent 2 years there. But Kitty says the relationship became violent within weeks of her arrival. She shared details of her time with R. Kelly in her book, I Was Somebody Before This. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
What a title, Kitty. What a title.
Thank you.
So you were in that home for 2 years.
Yes.
Within 3 weeks, he became physically abusive.
It was actually Chicago, not Atlanta.
Okay.
About 2 weeks after I had moved in, I had confronted him about a videotape that I had saw, and it was a girl that he had introduced me to, and that was the first time he became abusive, because I noticed that the girl in the tape was someone that he had gone to court for, and he had introduced me to her, and I didn't know how to handle the information that I had just...
Just to be clear, he went to court on child pornography charges for a sex tape he was in. The prosecutors alleged he was having sex with a 14-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
He was acquitted because the jury said, we can't identify that woman, and so we don't know whether she was 14. So they didn't think they could prove it was a child.
Right.
And
right.
You know this girl, and...
He introduced me to her, and this is 2011, so years had gone by, and this person's an older woman now, but when I saw the videotape, I realized... that was the same girl he had introduced me to, so...
And how old do you believe she was in that sex tape?
When I did the math, compared to how old she was when he introduced her to me, it landed on 14.
So you believe he was guilty of that charge?
Yes, and I confronted him about it, and that's when the first time he abused me.
I know you say he became extremely controlling.
Yes.
How so?
I had to... wear sweatpants. I had to stand up when he would walk in a room. I did have to be on his phone plan. I know that the Savages did mention that. He would put a lot of his girlfriends on his phone plan so he can control, like, who you're talking to, how often you talk to your family, what you're texting, things like that.
Is it true he controlled things as little as you walking out of a room, you going to use the bathroom, you wanting to eat?
Yes.
How? What would you have to do?
You would have to send a text message to one of his runners, just asking, like, you know, if you can go to the restroom, and then they'll relay the information to him, because you weren't, like, free to walk throughout the house.
You had asked permission to go use the bathroom?
Yes. Yes.
And he would use food, you claim, as a punishment.
Right. When I met him, I was about 130 pounds. When I left 2 years later, I was 107 pounds.
So how does somebody like you, a successful DJ, living a normal life, who you meet him at this party, how do you get sucked into a situation where you agree to these crazy terms? Right? That's a lot of people are going to be asking.
Right. It was just a normal, the same way that if you met a guy at a gas station and you thought, okay, this is going to be, you don't have those expectations where, I mean, you just don't think, like, when you go into something and you give up things and you compromise, like, okay, I'm going to move to another city or another state, you know, from our relationship. When you give those things up and for love, you don't expect that that person's going to turn into something else. You're just in it. So by the time I walked away from those things, I just, which I detail in my book and it'll make more sense.
No, but they rein you in bit by bit.
Yeah. And I mean, felt like I gave up everything. And then once I was there, I was just in it. And the more I started learning about him, I just got sucked into it. And yeah. I felt like I didn't have anything else to go back to.
Asante, did you have a similar experience with him?
I did. When I first met him back in 2013 during the Black Panties tour, he was this wonderful guy. He always made you laugh. You never saw anything wrong with him. Flying back and forth for 2 years, going to different shows, hanging out with him, he was just always this funny guy. And it was the summer of 2016, the beginning of the buffet tour. He pretty much put me on the bus from city to city back in Dallas, Texas, and I ended up in Oklahoma, and from Oklahoma, I ended up in Atlanta.
But did he control you in the way he controlled Kitty?
He controlled me once I moved in.
How so? Can you give us examples?
For example, when I was just flying in back and forth, he would send me texts, and for instance, I want to say Easter of 2015, I went to Chicago, and I sat in the hotel for like 3 days before even having contact with him. And the day when I was about to leave, he just texted me out the blue and said, come to the studio. And I called an Uber to the studio. I arrived there like 10 o'clock in the morning, and I told him I'm here. And he had his assistant put me in a Sprinter, which is a traveling van. I sat there from like 11 o'clock in the morning to 8 o'clock that night.
But what about, did you have to ask permission to go to the bathroom and get food and leave a room?
Yes. When I was on the Sprinter, I had to use the restroom, and I texted him, Daddy, I need to use the restroom.
No, Daddy.
It's fine. Yes. We were required to call him Daddy.
Required to?
Yes. He told us to call him Daddy. You would address him as Daddy.
And if you didn't, you were...
Yeah, you would get in trouble if you didn't.
Yeah, or slapped.
How many women were... You were there most recently, so how many women are in this house?
At the time when I was there, it was a total of 4 of us, and it was 2...
Did you see Joycelyn?
Yes, I did see Joycelyn. My first time seeing Joycelyn was when I was at the house, and at this time, he told me, whenever you enter a room, you have to knock on a door and wait for permission for someone to say, come in.
Pimp culture.
So this is an example of how he controlled these women, right? They have to go through other people to get to him to make a decision about simple things. My box cover.
That's crazy.
I don't know, man. I really don't know. I also watched this other interview. Not even an interview. This was this was done by BBC3, where in the piece, the guy wanted to get in contact with R. Kelly's lawyer. And one of the family members that was dealing with them, So one of the family members that was dealing with this so-called lawyer, they were trying to arrange for their daughter to go to her sister's graduation. And the way it went down, you would think like, wait, what the hell? So this person has been claiming that he worked for R. Kelly and he's R. Kelly's manager. But watch this.
One of the only ways the family can have any communication with their daughter is through R. Kelly's manager, Mr. James Mason.
Hello.
James Mason.
They're currently trying to see whether Joycelyn will be able to attend her sister's graduation.
Yeah, I'm recording you. Come on. Now listen, when am I going to see my daughter?
Hey, Mr. Mason.
My wife is here.
I text you this morning.
I haven't seen my daughter since 2016. Last time I saw her, Joycelyn was on TMZ with Dominique, the other girl that's in the house. And TMZ didn't say nothing about Dominique. But listen, I need to see my daughter. Let's plan to see my daughter.
I am trying my best to make something happen for your daughter and your daughter's graduation. I'm trying. If she wants to see her sister graduate, let's just say that. And your daughter may say, hey, come on, guys, let's go out to dinner.
Right.
And she just want to be normal. She don't want to talk about R. Kelly.
I'm going to tell you the question behind it. I'm going to answer the question.
She just wants to be with her mother, father, and siblings, but don't want to talk about her personal life. I'm just curious, how can you handle that?
If that's what she wants to do, that's fine. But the problem is, I'm a father. I just want to see my daughter. Make it happen, Mr. Mason. You his manager.
A different approach, that's all. I'm not trying to tell you.
I understand.
Hang him up.
It's your child, not my child. Your child.
Hang him up.
Right? So, at the end of the day, I hope that you really give it some thought.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. You have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, before we start, I basically need to give you guys some context because you won't understand what really happened at that time. So in the documentary, there was an adjacent story that was going on. The family of Joycelyn, I can't remember her last name, they were on the way to a concert to see if their daughter was there. While that was going on, Dominique's mom was in LA and she heard that her daughter was staying at a hotel that they frequent. So she was on the way to the hotel to see if she can snatch her daughter away from them. At the same time, like I said, Joycelyn's mom was on the way to a concert. She got a call from Dominique's mom to say, Joycelyn is not at the concert. Joycelyn is in LA with her daughter, Dominique. So what they tried to do was get their a family member in LA to snatch her up. And they brought in the police and everything. Just tried to get those girls away from R. Kelly. But R. Kelly wasn't there. But that control that you talk about, it's freaking strong. Because I got to let you see this. Hold on.
So what's happening?
The police is there. They're trying to get the get my daughter out the room. She wouldn't come out the room. She was on the phone with someone and she was apologizing for letting the other girl go.
The police want to do a wellness check on Joycelyn, but they can't get into a room to talk to her.
Yeah, she's not answering the door, so they're going to have to break the door down.
The manager can't open the door with a key?
No, she got the lock. She got the lock on it. You know what? The police is talking to her. I don't know. You know, she don't
want to
come.
They won't let you talk to her that out. They won't let you even talk to her.
No. She's
Not
allowed to talk to her. Joycelyn does not want to leave. She literally is telling them she don't want to have nothing to do with you guys.
She just wanted
to be left alone.
That what she told the police?
She wanted to be left alone. They said she was reasonable. She showed no signs of harming herself or anything.
Oh, gosh, this is horrible.
You see how crazy that control is, right? But just think about this. Just being a parent with kids, boy or girl, doesn't necessarily matter. You're trying to communicate with your child and you have to go through a third party and somehow that child is not being kept in like a in under control, and R. Kelly claimed that that's not true. It doesn't happen, but yet people trying to communicate with their kids, and they can't, and they have to do it through his lawyers, not his lawyers, through his manager and other people. Which part of that makes sense?
Like I said, that's pimp culture right then and there. Even if it's a manager, even if it's seemingly business-wise, it doesn't make sense to me.
All right. Now, this is the part that really got me kind of like, what the hell? Now, check this out.
Hey, Mr. Mason. We had a long night yesterday trying to get the girls. We found out where the girls were.
So this on the phone right now is James Mason, who is R. Kelly's manager. And the interesting thing is that he is literally saying he knows nothing about what happened last night. And he seems to be fishing for information on what the Savage family know.
Hey, Mr. Mason, I have somebody else want to talk to you since you called.
Hey, Mr. Mason, it's Benjamin Zahn from the BBC here. I'm wondering why R. Kelly is scared to address these claims in an interview. Can you tell me why he won't actually do an interview about this? It seems like, you know, these are allegations he should be addressing. They're quite serious. I was with the Savage's family yesterday as they were getting phone calls about their daughter. The police were there. Why is Robert Kelly not willing to actually talk about this publicly? I mean, your name is not Mr. Mason.
No, I do not know you.
What are you talking about? You've been addressing the fact that you're...
My name is not Mr. Mason. I do not know you.
You've been being addressed as Mr. Mason the whole time you've been on this phone call. What are you worried about? Why won't you address this? Is your name...
After he found out that the family was with a reporter from the BBC, him completely change him tunes, and he now became an unknown person. He is no longer Mr. Mason, and he does not have any affiliations with R. Kelly.
Sounds like music industry protection to me.
I mean, it's we can watch all these cases, man. I think it's horrible as it sounds, and what we allowed as a, I wouldn't say a community, but as people, period, to happen and continue to support. We're all mad at ourselves. That's what I think. Whoever is upset about this is mad they continue to listen to his music or just ignore the fact that this was going on. But we all knew this was going on. It's not...
Yeah, but you know what, Kenny? I would say this. There's a big difference between fans listening to the music and actually doing something about the situation that R. Kelly was in. What the thing is, regular people had the opportunity to do something about it when R. Kelly was going through a bunch of court cases that involved this situation. And it was a juror who said he did not believe the girls, regardless of the evidence that was there, regardless of the tape. And because of the legal justice system, the prosecutor couldn't even use that tape because the person who was supposed to be the star witness said it wasn't her. And she could have done something about it. But Stockholm Syndrome, she decided it wasn't her. So the court said it wasn't R. Kelly. He got away.
Was she in the documentary?
No, she didn't participate.
Oh.
But you also have to remember, some of these girls could also be embarrassed. It's just like with any situation, any sexual assault situation, the reason why they don't come for it is because they're embarrassed. The reason why they wait so long to go to the cops or report it to somebody.
I'm not blaming her for saying that it wasn't her, but the parents, they also denied the accusation, denied that it was her. When they clearly know that it was anybody who knew them, from her aunt to her coach to team members that used to play basketball with her, they knew it was her on that tape. But she said it wasn't her, and she said that in a court of law, and because of that, case was dismissed.
Do you remember the Boondocks episode?
I remember that.
2005.
Right. I remember that.
It's a perfect example of why we're here right now.
Everybody.
Just like how you said, we are the ones that kind of enabled that. Mm-hmm.
But here's something more disturbing. There was another girl, and the reason it's disturbing is not because of what the girl did. Well,
it is.
I'm not blaming the girl for this, but it's because of what happened. While R. Kelly was in court for the P tape, the girl was outside of the court, in the court, giving him support and saying that it wasn't him. And she ended up dating R. Kelly and becoming a part of his sex cult. And then she now is speaking against him.
Interesting.
Is it?
Not
is it really?
Really. It's interesting to see all these examples that, again.
It's just interesting to me to see the, I don't know, flip-flopping.
Yeah.
The flip-flopping. Especially with his ex-wife.
Oh, really?
I'm not blaming her.
Yeah.
The woman was in a very abusive relationship.
But at one point in time, she was defending R. Kelly, telling people to stop spreading the rumors about him.
Hold on a second. Do you realize that this girl named Jocelyn, right? Her parents want to know what's going on. Is she okay? Is she a part of a sex cult, right? R. Kelly orchestrated a response, put her on camera to say the things that he want her to say. So his ex-wife going out defending him, that was R. Kelly puppet mastering her.
But this was after they separated. This is after the divorce.
Don't care. I am not blaming the wife.
I'm not blaming the wife either, but I'm just saying it's interesting to see how many people are now coming to speak up against him and come onto this docuseries instead of supporting the parents who were trying to get their daughters back.
Well, that's going on right now. There's a lot of parents trying to get their daughters 20 back.
20 years later. 20 years
really?
Later.
So, apparently, the wife was having sex with the girls too.
Wait, what?
I mean, it was a cult. He had people
having threesomes.
I believe that. If he could organize and orchestrate all this, what do you call it, puppeteering?
Yeah, puppet master.
Why wouldn't that be a possibility?
No, that's a shocking part because that's something I was not aware of.
He mass a world with his music and being exposed as being a pedophile, I guess.
Yeah.
He massed the entire world with his music and being a pedophile at the same time. Why isn't that a high possibility? That he even had his wife wrapping up most of these, you know, young girls or helping him control them. That's
what happens in pimp culture. You have your bottom, your main girl help keep the other ones in control.
But
there was some of these young girls that's now speaking out. One of them said that she was that person, and there's a few of them said that the wife possibly didn't know what was going on. Because but she was experiencing the abuse too. Because one of the girls recalled being in the house and the wife came down the stairs, peeped out and go, "R, can I come out now to get something to eat?"
Yeah.
I mean, of course she's experiencing abuse. I feel like any woman or any person in his life was under his control, whether monetarily, mentally, they were under his control.
It's very interesting, though. I mean, it's very disturbing. And to be honest, I don't like to follow all these trends that's going on right now. Mm. But in this particular case, I kind of feel like, because I'm a human being, he's a Jamaican man, and he's a different type of Jamaican man. I'm not the type that's going to go out there and go on like some gyalis and act like some need for push me thing in every damn thing where I run around the damn place. I respect women. I love women. I have a daughter. I have nieces. I have a ton of sisters. So my entire life has always been celebrating women, because me no feel like say, I should go out there and abuse them like some men do. And I have to say, this thing is very disturbing. And because of that, I stopped listening to R. Kelly years ago. And it wasn't like it was a conscious decision. It was just like automatically, I just never want to hear music anymore. But after watching this documentary series, I started realizing that the music he made tied in to his behavior. Mm-hmm. And that made me more not want to listen to his music.
I think it makes everyone, like I said earlier, upset. Because Ignition and the Feeling on your Booty, those are all hits that during the time they were made, he was doing. I can't use the word I want to use, curse word, but he was doing his thing, and these were hits. That means the public supported his ego and enabled him to continue doing this. So this documentary makes everyone mad at themselves if they allowed that to happen.
I don't think so.
I think they're mad. I really do.
I think they're mad at R. Kelly.
They're mad at him.
I'm not mad at myself.
But look at
exactly.
It. What I mean is, you supported that. It doesn't grow.
Hold on. There's a big difference between supporting something and knowing something, because I can say this. I know, Kenny, you're married and you have one daughter that is absolutely, 3-4 years old, right?
Yes.
I know that for a fact.
Right.
R. Kelly's keeping these girls locked up in a sex cult. I don't know that for a fact. But there are reports about it. There are people saying that it's happening. So me being a fan, if you're making music, Kenny, I know you're making good music. I know you have a 3-year-old daughter. Mm. That's a fact that I am sure of.
Right.
What people weren't able to wrap their minds around is the fact that R. Kelly's making this music, but they can't believe that someone making these type of music would really do the things they're saying that he's doing. Yeah. So what they look at it as, it's just gossip. Mm-hmm. It's what would they call these things on
conspiracies.
They're just trying to just damage his reputation. And when he comes out and saying that it's not true, it's just another tabloid story. And think about it like this.
It gets
this because there's this desensitization of tabloid stories. People now refuse to believe the things that seem to be a tabloid story.
So you want to bring up fact court documents would go under facts.
I know. He married Aaliyah.
Okay.
I know.
This was happening. She's from 13 years old working with this girl. Age ain't nothing but a number.
Which he wrote. He wrote that song.
I know he wrote that song. And on the album cover, that was him in the background. On the album cover of Age Ain't Nothing.
Just think of how sick this freaking guy was.
So if we know that he married Aaliyah at 15 years old, why are we still saying, oh, I can't believe it. It can't be true. When that was true.
Yeah, I'm stuck on that one, man.
Yeah, I'm stuck too.
Even though, I mean, look at it now. I rocked with Aaliyah, man. That was some hits she made back then. And I'm not saying it's her fault or nothing like that. I mean, she was a victim of the whole situation. But
also, there's something else that was kind of disturbing. And I'm going to do a comparison. Before, in the documentary, it pointed out, before Aaliyah got involved with R. Kelly, she was a prissy young lady, right? She wear normal clothes like a girl would. After she hooked up with R. Kelly, she's dressing in baggy clothes, trying to perpetrate this so-called hip-hop culture or hip-hop fashion, right? Fast forward a couple years later, now, there was a girl that was caught up in this named Dominique, which I explained earlier, her mom was trying to get her away from me. That girl, before hooking up with R. Kelly, she wanted to be a singer. She was about, I think, 16 years old at the time. And she again had that, she was a innocent young girl. But then all of a sudden, when her mom saw her, the girl looked like a boy.
Yeah.
She looked like a boy.
I wonder why. He might look little boys too.
And okay, so the mom was like, one of the reasons this happened is because he treated her like his boy toy.
Not boy toy.
Oh yeah. Exactly. Treated her like his boy toy. He wanted her to act like a boy. Look like a boy. So when the mom finally rescued her from R. Kelly, which she went back to him.
Really?
Yep. And then she left again. The girl left and then she went back. I mean, damn, what the hell is this? What the hell about this freaking guy, man?
I mean,
what the hell is it about him?
I'm trying to watch what
his
I say.
His singing?
Yeah, because his...
Man, a business about him singing.
His fame.
Man, a business about him singing.
Okay.
Bad behavior is bad behavior.
Yes, but I'm giving you the reasoning behind it as why he can attract these women like he does. There's a video, a viral video online of him in, I think, Ethiopia. Singing to girls saying, if you want to come to America, do you got your passport? Do you want to come with Robert to America?
He was singing?
Yes, that's what he was singing. And his background singers is singing that. America, America, come to America with Rob.
That right there. I mean.
So if you want to talk about cultures, right? In Africa, you know that marrying or Africa and parts of the Middle East, they marry young girls, you know, marry them off. So now he's recruiting these young girls in Africa to come back to his sex cult in America.
I got it. Do you have your passport? Did you get your shots? Girl, would you like to come back with Rob to America? America, America, do you have your passport? Did you get your shots? Girl, would you like to come back with Rob to America? America, America, America. America.
Do you have your passport? Did you get your touch? Who wants to come back with us? Who never tried? I'm ready to come. I'm ready to come. I'm ready to come.
Yo.
You do realize that.
That was. No kidding. You can't. He had a voice. He had a voice. The voice
and
was gold.
And his singing.
It was gold.
Everybody's going crazy gold. Over his singing, but yes. This is what he's singing. This Do you have your passport? Do you have your shots? Do you want to come with Rob back to America? That's what he's singing at his concert.
And it just puts you in
recruiting
his
young girls from. Oh, you realize something, Dad. Now, I'm about to make this a black thing. You realize that he hasn't messed with Becky, right?
Ooh.
Becky.
Becky's. The Becky's. Oh.
So this guy is so disturbing. He realized there's a loophole in this whole thing. If he mets with black girls only,
no one's gonna care.
No one's gonna say anything. No one's gonna go after him.
Big
so,
facts.
So that's what he thought. And what he also do now is he realized that he can catch them between 17 and 18. So although he recently wanted younger girls, he told this other girl that was 19 years old, you know, if you're like 14 or 15, you can tell daddy, right?
How old is young? What do you say? How old is too young? Or
this blasted fool.
You like teenage girls. When you say
teenage girls, how old do you talk? Right.
I was like, what? It was a meme on YouTube. No,
listen,
on Facebook.
Listen, the one saving factor in all of this is that this documentary came out. And I hope it's not just going to spark conversations and no actions are taken. I hope more people would realize that bad behavior should not be accepted. Everyone need to be held accountable for their actions. And that lead me into this. The people who are around R. Kelly right now, they need to speak up. Regardless if it's going to cause them to lose their job, their lifestyle, their livelihood. Nothing can replace the trauma of these girls being victimized. The content and context in R. Kelly's music, like I said at the time when we were all listening to it, we thought it was just songs. But after getting a broader picture of what went into that music, then you now understand why the music is the way it is, and it makes sense, and it's more disturbing. Unfortunately, all the girls are traumatized, and their recovery is going to be freaking hard. They're dealing with this for the rest of their lives. They could move on, but all these girls were victimized. Because you take a 16-year-old girl who's never been with anybody, and next thing you know, she's in a threesome with two other girls, which they never thought about. Things that they thought they would have, they never thought they would have done. But yet, they've been forced to do it. Them kind of something that, it's freaking disturbing. And I'm kind of saying that don't make no damn sense. How could a grown ass man do these type of things to some look a pitney?
It's R. Kelly, man.
No, no.
It's
no.
Not just R. Kelly.
You can't just say it's R. Kelly, man.
Ain't nobody could do that. Not too many people in this world could do what R. Kelly did.
Yeah.
Not too many people in this
dude,
world.
No, dude, no. Okay, I'm gonna tell you a story. Tell you a story. It's happened in my own family. I have an aunt that married a guy. She had kids for him. The man impregnated him daughter. Him daughter had a child for him. Him impregnate the data.
Okay.
And that's his own freaking kids.
And he don't sing?
What?
He don't sing.
And he doesn't sing. He's not a musician. Just a regular sick mother effer.
There's people like this in the world, man, that got this type of power. They got the gift of gab. They don't have to be a singer. They got the gift of gab.
Yep. They do some really jacked up things. And there are people around them that's allowing it to happen.
So how, what is the, is there a source for this type of sickness? Like, how do you, a source?
There is no source for this type of sickness because it's not a sickness. It's a friggin' behavior.
That's a behavior. How do you, what would be a preventative action or not prevent, but just kind of what?
Castration.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm just saying, when you neuter a cat or a dog, they don't hump the chair anymore.
Oh wow!
Hey, Lorraine Bobbitt, that bastard.
So we just gone.
In my perfect world, people who do things like this, we put them on an island, and it's called Castration Island.
Damn!
Cut off the manhood.
Cut off and put them on an island, and
because them can't control themselves.
Damn.
But the thing is, it's not just one thing that this guy is like. It's not. It's just.
It's a number of things.
I can't wrap my mind around it. He did not just break one. He did not do one crime. There's multiple.
Mm-hmm.
There's multiple crime. He victimized the girls. They abused. He abused them verbally, physically, mentally. And then he basically created a cult environment. So now it kind of feel like he kidnapped the damn woman them. Well, again, I am saying these things based on what I've seen on the documentaries, the reports that I've watched. So I am not for sure. So I would say this, allegedly, but just like Fox say, you can't allege a marriage certificate to a friggin' 14-year-old girl.
It's a fact. It's a fact.
That's a fact.
It's a fact.
Apparently, chemical castration were used for sexual predators back in the day. I don't know if that was used now.
I mean, they need to exercise that on...
Big time.
Big time. That.
But before that happened... He needs to be charged, convicted, and imprisoned.
And I hope we stop calling it a cult because I think a cult romanticizes it. We should call it what it is. He's a pimp.
Yeah.
Stop calling it a cult because then it's going to be like mythological. Like what's that cult where everybody took the Kool-Aid and they all died?
Yeah. Yeah, down in South America. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't stop romanticizing this sex cult. It makes it sound, you know, pop culture. He's a pimp. That's what it is.
And he's a predator.
Yeah.
Victimizing women.
That's horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
a predator. We'll call him a predator.
He's a predator.
Yeah.
That's more on target. Castration, predator.
I don't know. Jesus. Okay. So we're going to have to close out. And again, this. Usually I do topics that's more informative, uplifting, but when a topic like this affects a community, especially the female side of our community, I have to come out and say something. Mm. I can't just sit by and go, yeah, it's R. Kelly. Bull crap. It's not damn, it's R. Kelly. It's a friggin' predator. And I know, as a man, there are things that I am not proud of, especially how I dealt with some women at a time. However, what this guy's doing, it's some illegal crap.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard on the news this week that he's now under investigation in 2 states. And that's because of the accusations from the docuseries. So all of the people them out there who don't believe this and still back R. Kelly and still think the docuseries is trying to damage his reputation, think about this. If it wasn't creditable, why would the states, the two law enforcement agencies in the state, now have him under investigation? And hopefully, this time, him now gonna get acquitted. Because that would just be a kick in our face.
Been doing it for 20 years, anyway.
20 blasted years. More than that.
He's the same thing.
This bastard.
You know, really messed up.
You still got R. Kelly on your playlist. That's what's really messed up. Yeah.
I really don't. Okay. Honestly. But
you
not,
bought his sex tape, bruh.
I was like, 12? I don't know how old I was.
Okay. No, yeah, dig yourself in that hole.
Yeah.
This is what we're going to do.
I mean, I own it. Stop. Because I ain't going to say it.
All right, so here's my parting words. Something we have to start doing as a community and as human beings. We have to start looking at ourselves and the people who we put our trust in terms of those we considered our heroes. Because there are people around us who are already heroes, like our parents, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your teachers, people you interact with, people who influence your life for the better. I think it's quite misguided to have people who you have no contact with, and just because they do one particular thing that you like and you appreciate, automatically they become your heroes. I don't believe that people should make sports stars and movie stars and music stars their heroes. I think that's misguided. And because of that, people fail to accept the bad behavior that the quote-unquote heroes are caught up into. So, what I would like people to start doing is stop hero worshiping and truly look at the people who truly influence your life and don't worship them, but appreciate them more and give them that recognition and stop going out and claiming that people you don't know are your heroes and you have faith and confidence in them because they don't affect your life. The people around you affect your life, like your bosses, your mom, your dad, your teachers, all the people you interact with, they affect your life. Okay? Any final thoughts? Fox?
Yes, I agree. And we should not only hold them accountable, but everybody who came in contact with him and allowed him to do these things accountable. They should be brought up in court as well as accomplices or whatever the legal term is.
Because if I killed someone and someone saw me do it, that person's going to jail the same as I am.
If they don't report it.
And I think, just like she said, they should be held accountable too. And also, you know, being a father of daughters, it's kind of tricky because it's not tricky. It's just like we have to really instill some type of protective, I don't know, guidance with our children, especially our daughters. To a father to my daughters, I want them to be conscious of this activity. This type of activity is they caught in a space where they're learning, so they're not really sure how to defend themselves against it. But I'm just saying, I want to see more with fathers who do have daughters taking more hands-on preventative measures to instill some type of, I can't even find a word to.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I think a large part of all of these cases has some something between the father and the child. Something was missing. Maybe it was unavoidable. Maybe it was like the case when she was sneaking out. You don't know. But I really wish that, especially now things are, you know, the 2019, our daughters, we have to protect them way more than we did in the past as fathers nowadays.
Yeah.
It's hard, but
I know.
I just want to see more of that. That's my final thought.
And so, as we close out, I would like to say thank you, Fox, for joining us on this episode of Yacht Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Kenny, same thing. Thank you for joining us on Yacht Talk. And I say, for everyone listening, I'd like to say thank you for listening. Hopefully, you can consider the options that we provide in this discussion. It's a healthy one because this is something that affects all of us. And it's not just R. Kelly out there doing this. There are people that we know are interacting with other people doing these type of things. And hopefully by listening to this show, we can put some perspective in some of the decision making. So again, thank you. I would like to see your comments, so please comment on the Yacht Talk page at fairway.com. When you go there, just click on shows, select the episode, and just post your comments. We'd like to hear from you. We'll see you next time.